Hello, dear listeners. James here, sitting in my studio, just coming up to 10 o'clock on Tuesday, the 1st of February, 2011. But you knew that because it says so on the audio boo. Just a very quick one, really, to pitch into the discussion. I hope you don't mind, on holidays and the like. It's been very interesting to listen to Simon and Jana and Ruth and Andy, of course, talking about holidays and the ideas and the best ways to go about it. And I'd just like to share some of my experiences. We've never really had a huge amount of money. I've been the main kind of breadwinner in the family. Andy, by the way, it was DINKY, Double Income, No Kids Yet, was the acronym that's bandied around programmes like You and Yours. Yes, it's been okay, but bringing up the family, you don't live beyond your means, and you take care. And if you can overpay on the mortgage by 20 quid a month, it's better than wasting money on something like an iPad. What we do, we try and get away at least once a year, and we'll try to go in October because one, you run the risk of it being really nice. You've got no idea really what the weather's going to be like, whether it's going to be throwing it down with rain the whole time or sunny just like a late summer. It's always worth the risk, not least because the prices are so much lower than the peak time. Go during half term, all right, so it's not as quiet as it could be, but the children tend to have a good time. We tend to book cottages. I think pretty much there's plenty to see in the UK. There are so many places you can go, and we've zipped all around the place. I have to admit that I have a soft spot for Hampshire and the Dorset coast because Wiltshire, because that's where I was brought up, and I have a love for the countryside around there and the pace of life. It's not quite as it's a complete change from the likes of Luton and London, but it's not as far remote as some places like in the Cotswolds, where you can just drive for 30 minutes just to find a co-op supermarket. We also have a soft spot for Norfolk as well. We went to Norfolk this year, and we've also got some friends up in County Durham. So, you know, it's, if you're willing to drive around the place, and then you can sort of zip within a sort of 30, 40 mile radius, and I'm sure there are plenty of things that can be done. If you've got the seaside close by, which in the UK's almost a regular occurrence. If you live in Luton, it's closer by than you were. That's, you know, you've got a couple of days. Even if it's throwing down, all you need to do is sort of stick on some waterproof clothes, and the children love it anyway. They don't care. And as much as anything, it's the memories and the photos and the laughs you have along the way. Now, as far as food goes, I still believe self-catering is best. That's not because Beth does all the cooking, because I'm appalling at it. It's because you can eat fairly economically. And our choice, and I can't believe this hasn't been brought up before, is supermarket restaurants. Again, you know, if you eat in the same supermarket every day of the week, you're going to get a little bit tired of the menu. But if you go to a Sainsbury's or a Morrison's, an Asda, Tesco's not so much, because they tend to serve foods out of pots, sort of the bulk catering thing. But if you can get food cooked individually for you, it's, you know, it's as good as a restaurant, and you can eat for not 25 quid, but for 15 quid or even less for a family of four. And I definitely recommend that. Then, of course, you've got your Pizza Hut buffets for lunch, McDonald's breakfast, even okay. Yes, that maybe that's an indulgence I shouldn't be confessing to. But I do like a sausage and egg bagel, and they do a reasonably decent cup of coffee, which is Rainforest certified. So, yeah, okay, I'm pandering to mammon there, but that's my excuse. So I hope that gives us some idea. We've been to Centre Parks as well. We do find Centre Parks to be quite expensive. Beautiful countryside. But when we went to the one in Norfolk, it was falling down a bit, and then it caught fire and went away, and I think it's back now. You get what you pay for in a lot of respects. One thing we will never do, and it's a real shame if you've tried it before, is go to Butlin's. It's just not our kind of place, unfortunately. However, if you do want to save money and you want to go on a budget, slightly less good than a cottage, but just as fun, is a static caravan. And we've done that a number of times. In fact, sometimes we've managed to eke two holidays out of a year because we go in a static caravan, and it's great fun. You get your own room, all right, so the little cabin beds, but they're comfortable. As Andy said, if you're spending the whole day sort of wandering around, looking through, going to different towns and having fun and stuff, and of course, if you consider the savings you're making by not living in a fully fitted cottage, you're hardly there, and you're only there in the evenings. And actually, even in the evenings, when you've got this sort of lounge area to yourself, and you've got the little television on, and you're playing board games and stuff, it's just as much fun. It really is. Again, I think with small toddlers and thing and very very young children, it might be a little bit frustrating. But then again, they go to bed a little bit earlier than I do. Just a couple of ideas, anyway. That it is very very easy to go. To go on holiday in the UK on a reasonable budget, and I would recommend it if you can. And I hope this offers some kind of ideas. A very quick one on the light fittings. We've battled long and hard with the ideas for lighting our kitchen. We're fortunate that we have a big wide window the width of the house, because we live in a very tall thin townhouse. But in the night time, of course, it's just dark. What we have is 350-watt halogen bulbs beaming down on the work surface that goes along the front of the house, where the sink and the kettle and the microwave and the oven hob are. But that's just not the most efficient way of running it. If you consider a strip lighting, although the colours are horrible and it flickers, runs at something like 25 watts, we're burning quite a lot of energy. The ideal would be what I've got in my studio, which is a set of LEDs. But they're more expensive to buy, and obviously they only cost a fraction of the price to run. But also, if you buy the wrong ones with the wrong angle on them, you don't get as much coverage. There doesn't seem to be the right solution yet. Unless you have uplighters, downlighters, in your neighbour's chamber lighters all over the place. If you've got cupboards, for example, you can have little fluorescent, or even those sort of shaver bulbs. They come in LEDs as well, just lighting specific areas you're working in. There's no real easy solution to lighting a kitchen. My former boss is doing up his house, and he does a huge amount of research on such things. He's probably spent a week looking up on the internet the best way to light a kitchen. I can ask him if you like, but he won't be back for 4 months because he's taken unpaid leave doing up his house. And with that, I shall close, go to bed, and realise that it's almost 7.5 minutes I've been going on, so I better stop. Thanks for listening, and I shall speak to you soon. Bye-bye.